For those of you, black book. I'm a bit nervous, so I'm just going to start by praying. Yeah, God, we just want to thank you that you're here with us right now, God. Just want to pray that, Lord, it'd be not, despite what I'm speaking, God, from my life and my experiences, God, it would be you speaking right now, God. Your word, God, speaking out to people. Yeah. Yeah, just lift you up now, God. Thank you. Oh, it's moved. It moved. Who moved it? Whoa, that was a bit crazy. All right, it's just a big book that's kind of, I think, slightly more coherent than what's in my mind at the moment. So, we're doing a series on who is Jesus, and I haven't been here for the last two. I know, I was waiting for that. I don't know, when I think who Jesus is, I always have this, like, Jesus is my Savior and my friend. So, Savior, I guess, is the main thing that sort of is from my testimony. Friend is kind of something that I'm learning now, and I guess that's just constantly learning. You never stop learning how Jesus is your friend and just developing that relationship, and that's a daily thing. And I think when you stop having that as a daily thing, you really start to notice that. So I guess in my life and sort of things leading up to where I am now, Jesus has kind of been the central figure, and really is the reason why I'm standing here in front of you. Like, he is my Savior. I know that fully now, and it's taken me a while to get there. a couple of years, few years. I'm really bad on dates, so I'm not even going to try. Before getting to this church, I was sort of just all in a bad way. My life was a bit all over the place. And I guess ultimately, it doesn't really matter where I was, what was wrong, because everyone's going to struggle with different stuff, and you're going to know that stuff. Like, if you just, once you sort of stop spending time with God and just let your mind wander, you start to think of things, and those are the things that you're going to struggle with once you start stepping away from the relationship you have with God. Like, they're going to be your daily struggles. Basically at that point, I wasn't in a relationship with Jesus. I called myself a Christian. I did a lot of Christian things, but I wasn't. I didn't know what I believed. I didn't know really too much about too much. But I guess, like, you sort of spiral downwards, and I guess at some point, at every stage spiraling downwards, you make conscious decisions to do things and say things, and you make choices that you know are not right. You kind of get yourself in your own mess. And, like, for me, I always look to the story of the prodigal son in Luke. I think most people know the story of the lost son, the prodigal son. A guy has two sons. The youngest son says, "I want my inheritance now." And the father agrees to that, and the son just takes off with it. It's a fairly handsome inheritance, I think, but he just wastes it. Destroys his life pretty much. He ends up feeding pigs and wishing he could eat what the pigs are eating, which is just, it's slightly worse than where I was at. He ends up getting to a point, and he goes, "You know, the servants in my father's house have more than enough food to eat, and here I am wallowing in a pig's mess pretty much." And he goes, decides to go back to his father, and says, "Sinned against both heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy of being called your son, and I'm not a dad. I don't intend to be for a while yet." But the point is, I don't know, as knowing my dad and knowing, I think, the idea and model of what a father should be, that would just break your heart. Your son not saying no longer worthy of being your son. I remember, once he comes back, the father's just like over the moon pretty much, and just throws a massive feast celebration. All the friends and family are there. He gets like the finest food and everything. And the son isn't there for some reason. He's out in the paddocks working. And he comes back, the older brother who stayed and worked in the father's house. And he's just like, "What? I've been here working in your house this whole time, and you never like sacrificed a goat for me." But here this guy comes away. He's like wasted everything you gave him, everything you blessed him with, and you're just throwing the massive celebration. And the father's just like, I really don't know which one of those two responses the father's heart was broken by more. Like, the father's just like, "What? You're living in my house. You have like pretty much free reign of all my blessings every day of your life, and you come back to me with a response like that." So back to my story. I remember really, really struggling with that story when I was like before, kind of the start of when things started to go wrong. And I saw myself in that at that stage as like the older brother, which I don't know. Like I see now how wrong I was there, and at that point I really had lost my perspective and lost really what Jesus meant to me. But I just couldn't comprehend the fact that, you know, I've been a Christian my whole life, I've done, tried to do good things and all this, but someone who wasted their whole life away and say turned back to Christ on their deathbed, would there would just be this massive celebration. I don't know, I couldn't comprehend it, but yeah, I'd lost my perspective. I guess that's the only way to sum it up. And I think basically from that point onwards, obviously, because I didn't get it when God took me to the prodigal son that time, God took me the long route and basically took me on a journey more closer to the younger son, where I just sort of went backwards and stepped away from everything that I had and all the blessings that I had in Jesus. And I guess my point of wallowing in the mud, if you will, like a point of realization, I just remember like basically just being like lying on my floor, just bawling pretty much. And like, I don't know, like honestly, like put things in perspective and you're like, even back then, I'm like, compared to disasters that are going around the world, even like things and people that I know that have just gone through such mess, and I knew my life was nothing like that, and I had no reason to feel as bad and feel. But I guess you get to a point of just complete brokenness, and that's, I think God, or Jesus, kind of wants you to get to that point at some point and realize that you are nothing without Jesus in your life. Yeah, just overwhelmed, really. And I don't know, I guess some people maybe get the easier way out and just get it. It just clicks to them someday and they just get a revelation of how much they need Jesus in their life. Took me a little bit longer, apparently. But that's all right, because I've got there to that understanding. I wouldn't say that I've got there in the greater sense, because there's still a lot of work. And that's a good thing. I'm really excited about that. So there's some reason, I don't know why, like even when I was completely in doubt and everything, like for some reason I always had this like ridiculously large library of like Christian music, like alternate and rock Christian music, so and I just always listened to it. I don't know why, I guess it's sort of some part of me crying out for something more. So there's this spoken song, and like I remember when I was like just reading through this stuff, like trying to think of where I'd go, and I remember this song that I just like used to sing on, like well listen to or just on repeat, because it just meant so much to me at that time of that point of brokenness and realization. And basically it's first verse, today I opened my eyes to a whole new world, another state of mind, a life without you. And then, I've wandered so far away from your embrace, and still the seasons change. And for the first time, I realize what I am without you. I am nothing. So I try to hold on to you. And that's, I don't know, like, I was reading that back over that this afternoon. Like, I remember, like, just being breaking down over this song back when I used to listen to it on repeat. I just loved it so much. But now I'm reading it, I'm like, I can see why, but there's like, it's fairly simple stuff, just fairly obvious stuff. So yeah, I guess that sort of brings me to where I am now. And as I said, like daily, like I need to keep building on the friendship that I have in Christ, because I've had to come through a long process of knowing his salvation. And I do know that. And that's just such a big thing. I think everyone needs to know that. But yeah, the friendship, like even the last couple of weeks, I haven't been spending as much time with God as I should, and you just start filling your head with these doubts and thoughts, and it's just rubbish. Like, as soon as the day that you open up the Bible, honestly read the Bible, honestly seek God in the Bible, it just transforms that day. And that, as if you keep that as a daily thing, it's just such a powerful thing. So, I think that's about all I got. And I think Huggy B is stepping up to the plate. That's Hugh Cowling, not Huggy B, but I like Huggy B. Target.
All right, Benji. Cool. I don't have a scrapbook. I typed up my notes, but hopefully what would it be? Times New Roman's neater than my handwriting, I reckon. So, something that's kind of been sitting on my heart for a bit is when Jesus talks about, I think it's John 12:44. This might not be the best translation, but he who believes in me believes also in the one who sent me. And I think, like, when you become a Christian and you start to really understand who Jesus is, he gives you something about himself to, I guess, to meditate on and to understand better. And for me, he's been saying, all right, you've been a Christian, or you've been in, you know, the Anglican Church for a number of years. You say you know God, but do you really know who I am, like, as a person and as, I guess, yeah, like that other person of God, which, you know, the Bible uses that phrase so much. And I'm kind of like, you know, he who believes in me believes also in the one who sent me. And that statement's just, I guess, gets in there and says, you know, you can't know God without knowing me as well. And for maybe the first 20 years of my life, I think I thought I knew God apart from Jesus. And that, looking back, it's like, wow, that wasn't Christianity. That wasn't life. That was just being a kid in a church. And it was crazy. So acknowledging Jesus from that point on has been, yeah, a real challenge for me. And it's hard to say why. You know, you don't want to put blame on things and people, but I think it's just the plan that God has for you, and, you know, reveals himself in different ways to different people. So, yeah. I think sometimes famous people have a really similar issue. Have you ever noticed someone getting up to receive an award, you know, like a Golden Globe or something, and they'll rattle off their list of thanks, and they'll always thank God, right? Everyone kind of likes a man of God. So these people are like, you know, I just want to thank God and my family and my producer. Do they ever really mention Jesus? I can't think, you know, of a recent famous person taking an award and saying, you know, I want to praise Lord Jesus. And it's just like, wow, I think I know where they're at. Maybe they're just too afraid to actually acknowledge Jesus along with God, but I can understand that. And that's, yeah, it's crazy. Where am I at? Yeah, I think it's a very safe territory to say, you know, I believe in God. But it takes a one step further to say, and that's because of that Jesus died for us, you know. The revelation, the truth of Christ just takes it. It brings conviction, and it gets you to, you know, then say to God, yeah, show me more about this person, this guy you sent. And that's why we've got, you know, the gospel. So I had a loose recognition of God as a creator and this good guy who blessed my family. And I think, you know, that was all very well. But I hadn't invited Jesus in. I love how it says you have to confess with your mouth, you know, the truth about Christ. And you can't confess something unless it's almost like saying, I have a relationship and I confess that. If you haven't got that relationship, there's nothing to confess. It's just emptiness. It's crazy. You know, you can try to say, oh yeah, I can get the testimony of someone else, but I don't think you can really share in someone else's testimony for your own salvation. You've got to find it for yourself. So as a teenager, the concept of the Great Commission was just not something I'd ever heard about. And I feel I'm a little bit envious for, like, some of the kids growing up in this church, because they hear that. They start to get early on, like, the real, that seed and that truth that, yeah, you know, your friends are not just your friends, they're there for saving as well. So one afternoon my parents dropped me off at a friend's place to hang out, and I was maybe 15 or 16, and we were skating and mucking around, and one of the other friends came, and somehow my friend was like, oh yeah, this is Hugh, he's just come from church. And and the other guy was, I don't know, I can't remember his reaction, but anyway, my friend jumped in and was like, oh, but it's okay, he's a cool Christian. And I was like, yeah, thanks for defending me, man. Like, yeah, I want to fit in. I didn't want this guy to think something weird about me. And looking back, I'm like, that is just a really pathetic thing. Like, that is so bad to want to be known as a cool Christian. I just want to say, if anyone out there has been called a cool Christian and hasn't kind of gone, hey, why are you calling me cool? Is it because it's because I hang out with you guys and go binge drinking? Or is it because, you know, we watch, like, you know, dodgy movies together? You've really got to take that and say, oh, like, I should be the real Christian that I say I am, and not someone else. So that was, something I've really kind of, I guess, taken in the last few years and tried to act on that. Yeah, that label, that was just a joke. So please be open to that next time someone labels, you know, they give you these, what is it, an adjective before the type of Christian you are. Since being planted at City Life, I think I've started to do something along the lines of, everyone heard of Mark Driscoll's Burn Your Plastic Jesus? The first time I heard that, I was like, what is he talking about? It just sounds a bit wrong, and, you know, and then you see the little picture of, take like a Buddha or a doll, you know, you've got this little plastic Jesus, could be a baby Jesus, or it could be with the long hair, and it's, I guess, gets through to me that what his mission was about was saying, you know, whoever Jesus was through your Sunday school, through your early years, this cushy guy, you know, part of the Bible, you've got to change that, you've got to challenge that, and I guess focus in on the relationship thing. Yeah, so for a long time I felt like, you know, Jesus wasn't an essential figure. He was just, I don't know, this other part of the Bible, but not, you know, God's cool, God was there, but, you know, I haven't even heard all of what Mark Driscoll said, but I think what he's saying is don't push him aside, don't make him smaller than he is. So yeah, we're all challenged in different ways, and I love how in the Bible it talks about, trying to remember the phrase, I should have probably bookmarked it, but they were saying Greeks seek wisdom and Jews look for miracles, and you know, over and over in my heart I hear the words, I am whoever you say I am, and you know, so Jesus is kind of trying to convict me that you can't go searching through the gospel for this wisdom and these miracles, because here I am telling you plainly who I am. And then I start to like change the words to that, you know, that Eminem song, if I am whatever you say I am, and if I wasn't, why would you say I am? And I kind of, you think about it for ages, and you can put in commas, and it's like, I am, and then whatever you say, I am, and if I wasn't, then why would I say I am? And I just keep reflecting on those things, and and I just get this, like, you know, and then you kind of turn it back and you say, okay, Jesus, I think you are this person. He's like, if you say I am that person, then I am. And because he's only telling you, once you get that real revelation of who he is, then once you say it, he becomes so much more real for you as well. So yeah, the other thing I wanted to bring up was the opportunities we have to share in our life groups and the sharpening. It's been awesome, I think, in all of the guys in our group. We've had a bit of a theme, especially between myself and Pat, of burning stuff down or tearing stuff down that we feel doesn't fit into, like, the way, I guess, our daily walk. So that's, yeah, that's, and that kind of doubles back on the whole, you know, burn your plastic Jesus as well. Yeah, I guess it's challenging those unimportant, those worldly exploits we kind of go on throughout our life, and you kind of think the more you can tear those things down and burn those things down, the more time you have to get walking with God.
Yeah.
So the other little thing, and I brought up this guy at work. I've been I picked a book off the bookshelf called The Fist of God, and it's by Forsyth, and it's just an action. It's just an action novel, action adventure, but it had God on the cover, and I thought that was cool, kind of cool to read it while I was on the toilet, and left it sitting there, and so for about a month, because I only read a few pages every now and then, it's been sitting there for a month, and so I sat on the toilet the other day, and someone had put a copy of The Essential Jesus on top of my book, and I thought, hold on, because I know there's a couple other Christians at work, and I'm like, this guy's just stepped it up a whole level, you know, like. I wonder if anyone is going to sit there and read The Essential Jesus, but my mum had a whole stack at home and she needs to get rid of them. But yeah, just kind of, I was kind of like, all right, I suppose I can take this opportunity to read a little bit and like rediscover Jesus. So this was a bit of an Anglican campaign, but it's, you know, it's not a bad gospel, the Gospel of Luke, to you know, to kind of refresh yourself on and step back and see kind of the awe and the bewilderment that God inspired in those early days with like the miraculous, what would you call it? I'm trying to think of the big long word starting with C, when Elizabeth got pregnant. conception, the miraculous conception. And Zechariah not being able to speak because he didn't believe, but then when he confessed, "No, I saw the angel and his name will be John," suddenly his speech returned. So there's just really good stuff that you can get out of those little things that just kind of angle into your life, and you're like, "That's cool, and I'm going to follow up on that." And I just want to finish with the line, "Blessed is she who believed that what the Lord said to her would be fulfilled." Because I feel that's the same thing we can all grab onto. You know, when God says something, speaks something to your life, if you really take hold of it, you will be blessed. All right?
As well.
Okay, my hands might be a bit sweaty. I'm just putting it out there. Have my watches. I'm ready. I'm ready. Hi. Hey guys. So I don't have too long. Thanks, Hugh. No, not really. And I've got my watchy, Andrew, and it's 5 minutes fast, so it'll make me freak out every time I look at it, and I won't go over time, hopefully. So anyway, when Andrew asked us to talk about who is Jesus, he told us to just be really real with it. And so I'm going to talk about what I know. And it's really exciting to see Hugh talking about what he knows and Ben talking about what he knows. And then last week, Josh talked about what he knows. And so they all shared parts of their testimony. And that always makes me really excited. And I just love seeing the way that God works differently in everyone's lives. And what I love about that is that I think that different people see different parts of Jesus based on their circumstance and based on where they're at. So Josh last week was talking about Jesus as a healer and Jesus as someone who loves us. And then Ben today talking about Jesus as a friend. But what I love even more than that is that no matter how we see Jesus, he is always all of those things. And that is constant. And so that kind of forms the basis of where I'm going to go with what I'm talking about tonight. So what I'm going to talk about is who I know I am because of who Jesus is. And Luke hated the way that I phrased that. So if anyone has any great ideas later, come and tell me and we'll work something out. But I think that there's something that I'm still learning about. And I'm just going to give you a bit of a brief rundown on who I know I am because of who Jesus is. Because I think that's something that is really significant to me because I change and I am changeable, but God is not and Jesus is not. And that's truth and that's things that I can know. There's things that I can know about myself and that we can know about ourselves because of who he is. And that is exciting because no matter what's going on with us, that's always true. So as I was saying, I don't always feel great about who I am and I don't always feel confident about my strengths or about my abilities. And I think that everyone feels a bit like that sometimes. I think that's a human thing to feel. But there are things in the Bible and there's things that the Bible says that, as I was saying, are always true. And so because of who Jesus is, I know that I'm restored. I know that I'm redeemed. I know that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I know that I was bought at a price. I know that I'm valuable, I'm precious, and I'm loved. And those things are promises. Like, that's exciting. I'm excited about this. Like, those are promises. And what I think we need to start doing and what I think we don't do enough of is we need to start speaking that stuff out over our lives so that no matter our circumstance and no matter what's going on with us, we're saying these things and we're living these things. And even if we're feeling really rubbish and having a horrible day and we look in the mirror and we hate what we see, we're fearfully and wonderfully made and we're created in the image of God. Like, that's exciting and that's awesome. So, just a bit of kind of how that relates to me and stuff that's gone on in my life. I guess I haven't always had huge self-confidence. And I know that surprises you because I'm gorgeous and I'm lovely and I'm bubbly and I'm energetic. But sometimes I wake up and I feel terrible. And I look in the mirror and I'm like, disappointing. honestly. And what I do at those times, and something that I found really helpful for me is that, this is going to sound weird, don't get freaked out, but I look at my hands, and I don't have amazing hands, but when I move them, I just, Like, that is incredible. And the fact that we have hands and that we have, like, that everyone's palm is different and that everyone has, I don't know, that my mind thinks hand move and then my hand moves. Like, that's exciting. And, sorry, I keep saying exciting. It's because I'm excited. but that blows me away. And that's something, like, that's a technique that I use. And it always makes me think of Psalm 139, which is, I will praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And that's sort of a prompt for me. And so I think it's really helpful to have prompts for Bible verses. So maybe, I don't know what it might be in your life, but for me it's my hands. And another thing is that when I look in the mirror, you may not have ever noticed this, but when I smile, you know how the middle part of your lip... You know how the middle part of your lip is meant to go over the middle of your front two teeth? No. No, it is. Okay. A normal person's face, that middle bit, will be here. And when I smile, come on, look at me later. It's freaky. When I smile, mine's like on one of my teeth over here. My smile is crooked. So I think what's happened is that my teeth are all kind of over that way. And when I look at that and when I notice that in the mirror, I think to myself, I am created in the image of God. And so that's, and that, I don't know, that's something that I use. And something else that I find really helpful, I promise I'll be really quick, Andrew. Something else that I find really helpful is writing Bible verses down on post-its. And I used to stick them on my bedhead, and quite a few of them have already fallen down. But they were ones that, I don't know, like every morning I'd wake up and I'd see them and I'd be able to speak that stuff out over my day and be able to live that out. And I there was quotes as well. I have one in the mirror, inside my mirror in my wardrobe that says, it's Proverbs 20, no, not that one, sorry. It's just a quote by Lisa Bevere. And it says, I'm going to love fearlessly because man is not my source of life, you are. And I love that, and the way that that works with the promises in the Bible, and the way that, like, because of who Jesus is, we don't have to worry about what other people think of us, and we don't have to worry about even what we think of ourselves, although I think that's important. But you've got to kind of work on that over time. And so it might seem kind of selfish to focus on yourself, but I think that in order to be able to focus on other people, you have to get that stuff right. Like, you have to be able to speak that stuff out over your own life before you can start speaking it out over other people. And you have to know those truths. So that's pretty much all I've got tonight. So I'm just going to pray real quick. God, I just thank you that you are constant. And I just thank you that Jesus died for us, Lord, and that you sent him to die for us. And I just thank you that we have so many things that we are, God, because of who you are. And I just pray that we would start to speak that stuff out over our lives, Lord, and that we wouldn't think or worry about what other people think of us, God, but what you think of us. And we just praise you for everything that you are, God, and everything that you've done. Amen. So every week we give an opportunity for people who don't know Jesus and maybe don't know much about Jesus to respond. So maybe something that someone said tonight has really stood out to you and really spoken to something inside of you. Maybe you've never been to church before. Maybe you don't know anything about God, or you have no idea what we're all talking about. But I'm just going to give everyone an opportunity, if everyone wants to sort of close their eyes and bow their heads. If that's you, and if you want to know more, and if you want to just invite Jesus into your life and to get to know more about him, then I'm just going to give you a moment to raise your hand right now. All right, cool. So I'm just going to pray. God, I just thank you that you are the Lord of our lives, Lord, and that you sent your Son for us, God. And I thank you that we are restored and that we are redeemed. And I just pray that we would live every day, God, for you, and that we would just continue to grow closer to you and walk in your love, Lord. Amen.